Well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today's Tuesday, October 15, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We are on page 53. There at the first paragraph, it says, logic is great stuff. Through that one paragraph ending with, we don't know. And we'll be commenting on just that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Kathy C., 12 Traditions will be Susan S.H., Rena L. is reading the text, Craig F. reading page 164, and, well, Susan was our backup. She's backing it up today. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and second hour host is Kim W.H. The reference number for yesterday, if you want to write this down, Monday, October 14, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time was 21826. 21826. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 21827. 21827. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. My name is Kathy. I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New York. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Kathy C. And now Susan S.H. will read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio, and I'm a compulsive overeater, grateful and recovered for today. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. Never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. We do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Okay, so we are resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We are on page 53. We're in the very first paragraph that says, logic is great stuff. Reading through that one paragraph ending with, we don't know, and commenting on just that one paragraph. And Rena L. is going to get us started. Good morning, Rena.
Good morning. This is Rena, recovered compulsive overeater from Toledo, Ohio. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know. There's never accidents, I think, in the readings we're asked to do. Rena, still recovered compulsive overeater, wasn't cured in the past minute. I think I used to think that I was too smart for faith. You know, I mean, it turns out I thought I was too smart for the everyday joy and pain of not annihilating myself with food, but I really did think I was too smart for it. Although I also thought I was tricking you all into thinking I was smart too, so who knows what I really believe. But in any event, I did have faith in my way of thinking. I bowed to the altar of all sorts of things, food, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, sometimes achievement for a period, fashionably thin instead of healthy. And eventually, through a lot of falling down in and out of this program, right, I learned that no human power, nothing I could do, no place I went to for help, nothing could remove the desire to binge when nobody was looking. Maybe I could sit on my hands for a little bit, not long as my disease progressed, but to remove the desire, so that even when I was alone with food, that I didn't have a desire to hurt myself with it. That's the thing that no human power can do. And I saw that something worked for all of you. People who sounded exactly like I did, who had exactly what I had. And I became willing to believe. And I'm still willing to believe. I am willing, right? I made a decision to be open to the God idea. And that openness is the condition for everything else in my program. And it keeps working as long as I am open to the God idea. So I'm grateful to be here with all of you, and I look forward to what you.
Well, thanks, Rena, for getting this started. Okay, guys, so we're going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others could share their experience. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please give others the opportunity to share and keep your share to 3 minutes. I'll remind you when time is up. All right, give me your first name, initial of your last, where you're calling from.
Nadia E.
Elena.
Elena.
Melissa.
Elena C.
Melissa K.
Melissa.
Janet.
Janet. Gotcha, Janet. Gotcha, Elena. Gotcha, Melissa. Gotcha. I think it was Nadia.
Yes.
Okay. Got Nadia, Melissa, Elena, and Janet. Is there somebody else?
Christina J.
Christina. All right. Well, we'll just start with that lineup. How's that? So everybody press star one. Does that be muted? Nadia, I did not get the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. And, you know, my higher power said to me, that's it. It's tomorrow is your birthday. This is my belly button birthday, and I'm so grateful. So my higher power is saying, that's it, you're going to call in to Vision. I listen every day, Monday to Friday, and I listen to special edition when I can, and I just love this meeting, I love this program. And I'm so grateful for my recovery today. And so the reason I was looking at like the end of this paragraph, we don't know. And it's not just that I don't know, we don't know. I can't do this program by myself. I need you. I need my higher power. I need the relationship with my higher power. And I need to renew it every day. And that's the only way I have my spiritual awakenings every day, that I throw up my hands in complete surrender and say, I don't know what's best for this in this situation. I don't know how to be the person that you would have me be today. And that's the question I have to keep asking God. And it's just miracle after miracle. And even though things are outside of my comfort zone, it's okay. I will survive if I'm in conscious contact with God, and I keep spreading the message. I got this lovely message from my sponsee this morning, and I just couldn't stop smiling, just talking about our relationship. And, and I also recently had to do a step 10 turnaround on sponsorship, and I was so unclear. Like, I needed to start new. I had a sponsor in OA for many years, like over a decade, and I just wasn't getting what I needed. So I found somebody in Vision, and it's what I need. I need to work this program. And we're separating in a friendly way. We're going to continue our we're going to continue being in contact with each other, but I have a new sponsor, I have a new way, and I'm so willing. I've been in program for close to 30 years, and I've been abstinent for almost that time, so I'm just amazed. One day at a time. To the newcomer, just keep coming back, Just listen. Just be open and teachable today. And
that's time, Nadia.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. Next up, Melissa C., followed by Elena C. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this paragraph and I think about it in contrast to yesterday, because yesterday was like, you know, talking about having childish faith, you know, like childlike, childish faith. And then today we're looking at logic, you know, what's logic. And when I think about, you know, my recovery and I think about a belief in God, it's logical. It is logical because, you know, here I am, right? I've shown up in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous with this problem that has, you know, been killing me my whole life. And fatter thin, I could not stop obsessing about food. I was always in bondage to my desires. And then I come to Overeaters Anonymous and I meet people who are living free. And what is it that they all tell me is that they've admitted powerlessness and that they came to believe that they have a relationship with a God that has done for them which they could never do for themselves. And so it would be logical, of course, to believe, because here they are clearly living free, right? And this is what they told me worked. So to me, that is logical. And then, so then I think about, well, then what's the problem? Like, what's wrong with having childish faith, a childlike faith or childish faith? And I think, you know, nothing. You know, I share with you guys all the time, right? I teach, and one of the greatest gifts that children have is this open enthusiasm, like no judgment. The kids that are the most successful in school, they don't judge themselves based on struggling. They're like, you know, it's like a baby learning to walk. They fall down and they don't say, I'm a crappy walker, I'll never learn to walk. And I have to have that same spirit when I come to believing. Just because it has been difficult for me, I can't say, well, now I can't. Or any time that I struggle, I can't throw up my hands and say, well, clearly that's evidence of God's non-existence. Right? I have to say, I have to have like this open, eager, enthusiastic demeanor about making contact with God. And my experience has been that I have that mindset and I can't fail. It's like I cannot fail. And that's what's happened for me. So today I am logical about my belief in God because it works. And I see evidence of it in my own life, and I see evidence in the lives of others. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next up is Elena C., followed by Janet B. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, recovered for today. So what I read in this paragraph is this idea that, and I know that's how I used to think of myself, is how much I know, how smart I am, you know, how much I read and I learn, and, you know, how do I put two and two together, make sense in my mind? Well, by the way, they taught me about critical thinking, you know, like, ooh, just think of something and let's see how you're going to think differently. So it's all about thinking, you know. And mind you, this culture says also positive thinking. It's not about thinking, for goodness gracious. There's so much more to me than that. There's so much more to us than that. It's not about knowing. It's about sensing. It's about feeling. It's about being. Because the world of my higher power is the world and the land of infinite possibilities. It's actually about what I don't know and I don't have a clue about. You know, and that is, and am I going to be okay with that? Because when I'm okay with that, I'm in conscious with God. When I'm like, I look at something and I'm like, well, you know, I want to figure it out. I'm not in conscious contact. Now, that helps too. That is not bad. It is helping me explore. But in all there is to it, I do need to invite my amazing higher power.
and be okay with not knowing and be okay with staying curious and open-minded about what's about to come. Okay, so I am not just brain. I'm not just mind. I'm much more complex than that. God is much more complex than that. It's about who I am around, what's around me, okay? And I am very, very grateful that this book is teaching me about that, is reminding me about that, that you're telling me about it every single time. God is great and is infinite. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next up, Janet B., followed by Christina J. Hey, good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So yeah, here they say, we're at pains to tell you why we think our present faith is reasonable. And isn't that what this whole chapter is about, right? They're trying to tell us that it is reasonable to believe in God. You know, they tell, like in so many different ways they try. They go, they talk about miracles. They talk about the prosaic steel girder, trying to appeal to all different people in all different ways. Like, okay, maybe this guy, we get him, you know, we help him by logic. Maybe this person, we help him by talking about miracles. But it is so important that they convince us that we have faith. In fact, right, there's a whole step on that. Came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Why is that step even there, right? Like in most illnesses, we don't have to believe it. If I have pneumonia, if someone just sticks penicillin in my water without me knowing it, I'm going to get better. I don't have to believe that penicillin will restore me to health. But it's so important that we believe that a power greater than ourselves, God, can restore us to sanity, that they made a whole step about it. How come? Why is it so important to believe? And like, I go back to the preceding chapter, not chapter, paragraph, where it says the Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine that would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have. Okay, they don't say that the Wright brothers' main thing, the mainspring of their accomplishment, was their knowledge of physics or aerodynamics. It was their faith. And they said without that, nothing could have happened. So it seems they're telling us without believing that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity, can remove my food obsession, nothing will happen. Well, how come? I think it's because in the spiritual world, faith, generally activated by prayer, is the currency. And that when I'm saying, okay, God, I believe or I'm willing to believe that you can restore me to sanity, I think that maybe that's when God says to his team of angels, okay, our next search and rescue mission is for her. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Kelly?
Sorry, guys. Thanks, Janet B. from North Carolina. Next up is Christina J., and then we'll be opening up for more shares. Good morning, Christina. Where are you calling from?
Morning. North Carolina. Morning, everyone. Wow, I have gotten a gift when I was born, logic. I loved it. I could figure things out. I could examine everything. I could draw conclusions on why this diet was going to work, this food plan, and if I got skinny, I'd be happy. I had all these ideas. And I went and went and went, and the whole time God had my back because he knew at some point I was going to be on my knees because nothing worked. And I'm so grateful to know today that nothing works. So the gift, the greatest gift that I've received, that I finally embraced, is surrender. As many of you speak on the line about that. Surrender to the fears. Surrender to one day at a time. I don't have any problem saying, I don't have any pain saying why my present faith is reasonable. Why? Because nothing else works. I only have to rely on this other thing. And because it's always had my back, I can look back in 2020 vision and see that I've always had enough money. I've always had a bed. I've always, even in hard times, when I've lost things, I've divorced, death, you know, I've always had God taking care of me. My my thinking, I don't think my thinking was ever soft and mushy. I think it was flat out the deepest form of fear, thousand forms of fear driving me every day. And it was intense. And I'm so grateful to have received, to have gotten to the other side of the shore for you out there that are just putting the food down, that are just beginning to experience the feelings that come up, the struggles inside your souls and inside your depths of your guts that you get to work out in this book. Because once you get to the other side of that, you will find such peace, even in the midst of storms. This morning I got a horrible, I say horrible, but it's life. You know, I got a return information from my tax gal because we do a extended, and I owe $5,700. And then next year in January, I have to pay $4,000. That's almost all of my savings. You know, and I just said, okay, God, I have enough money in the bank. That's it. I don't have to have an emergency account right now. I got to pay these taxes and know that God will take care of me. God is my emergency bank account. He will take care of me and us. You know, I still have a job. There's just so many reasons to believe. And I heard on the Sunday edition, and I'll finish with this, the gal talking about give gratitude in everything. Give gratitude in the midst of a damn storm. Give gratitude for what you're learning, because all these things take us to our knees. At least they have for me. And I'm so grateful to be on the other shore with all of you. And keep in there. Keep hanging in there, newcomers, because you'll get there. No matter how big the absence or whatever you have to go through, you'll get there. And it's a beautiful effing gift. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Just a reminder, you guys, where we're at, we are on We Agnostics, page 53, first paragraph. Logic is great stuff. Reading through that one paragraph, ending with, we don't know. So who would like to share who hasn't shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting?
Ken W.H.
Ken W.H.
Craig M.
McCall from Florida.
Craig F. Somebody from Florida.
Jeannie B.
Whitney C.
Wait, Jeannie B.
Whitney
Tony
C. I'm the one from Florida.
Who is from Florida?
I'm the one from Florida, Jeannie B.
Oh, okay, thanks. I got Tony B.
Crystal R.
I got Kent. Crystal R.
Whitney C.
Whitney C.
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Okay, well, let's do that lineup. See what we got. Ken W.H., Craig F., Jeannie B., Tony B., Crystal R., Whitney C., Kelly H. So if everybody can please press star 1 so we can have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Ken W.H., followed by Craig. Hey, Ken, where are you calling from?
Thank you. Hi, this is Ken W.H. from North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. excuse me. I think about the Wright brothers and that the childish faith and then logic. The childish faith that I had as a kid was that when I asked for something from Santa Claus, I was going to get it. And over the years, usually I got what I asked for until that didn't happen anymore. And I didn't get what I asked for, not knowing that the parents couldn't afford it, that I, whatever reasons. And then I so to speak, lost faith in Santa. That's childish faith to me. What the Wright brothers experienced, in my opinion, and what I experienced over the years, is that they had an informed faith. It isn't just blind faith. They were informed. They studied their aerodynamics, and they studied, they watched others' failed experiments and efforts to try to fly, and Professor Langley followed in the Potomac. So they had an informed faith, and they believed that they could use their minds to create something or create a possibility, and they use them, and they they believed that they could make this thing get off the ground. The faith piece was, I don't know which one flew it, maybe it was Orville, but whoever did had to have the faith to climb into that contraption and to let it loose. That's faith, but that's informed faith. It wasn't just some, it wasn't the kind of faith that says, let me tie a plank or a board to my back and jump out a window and see if it works. That's childish faith. That's uninformed faith. The Wright brothers put a lot of work into their efforts, and that's the logic is great stuff part. And I had lots of logic and put it into a lot of my activities and things, but I had a childish faith that I could control food by myself. But through listening to stories and my own personal experience, I found out that I could not. And that I came to a place of having faith that I couldn't do this on my own and that I needed power. That's what made the Wright brothers' contraption fly, is power. The power of speed and applying power through a propeller and blah, 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 blah. They needed power. So did I. I didn't have it. But
that's time, Ken.
Thank you. This is just wonderful stuff. And bottom line is I have the faith today in this program doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Next up is Craig F. from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Logic is great stuff. The big problem with logic, raw logic, is that it isn't any good if our facts aren't any good, if our assumptions aren't any good. And it isn't any good if our process isn't rigorous. Logic has let me down. I think I'm very logical. I have I have all the math classes I need to get a math degree. I have an engineering degree. I can reason certain things very well, and I've had an exposure to rigorous logic. The problem is that all my facts weren't, all my assumptions weren't any good. You know, there's an old joke that goes around that says, God is love, love is blind, Ray Charles is blind, therefore Ray Charles is God. Now, that's bad logic. That's a bad logical process based in some factual statements. However, when it comes to this process, this belief in a power greater than ourselves restoring me to sanity, I don't have to rely on whether or not all my assumptions are correct or not. I can look and see what works. It may not be logical to me that turning my life and will over to the care of a power greater than myself is gonna treat my compulsive overeating. That may not make sense in the beginning. Why does God care about my food? You know, why is God gonna help me with my food? What is this God that's gonna take away this compulsion? And yet I look around me and I see that in other people that it's working. You know, that they've turned their life and will over to God's care, that they've adopted a spiritual way of living. They're living free of the same compulsion that was ruling my life. And so if my life begins with, if it works in others, it can work in me, then I don't have to reason out how that happens. You know, there isn't a chapter that says why it works. It says, basically, there's a chapter that says how it works, that how do you work it? How do you make it work for you? And I don't have to be a theologian, and I don't have to
That's
reason
fine,
out.
Craig.
Thank you. I don't have to reason out from the beginning. I just have to accept that it works for me because it works in others, and that'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Craig F. from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Next up is Jeannie B., followed by Tony B. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. This is Jeannie B., J-E-A-N-N-I-E-B, from St. Petersburg, Florida. In the last 2.5 weeks, I've been through a tropical depression, 2 hurricanes, an evacuation, coming back to face the damage. And I just want to start by saying thank you. I am dealing with it all. And if not for being in recovery for 2.5 years, I can't imagine the mess that I would be in. But I am in peace today, and I'm in gratitude today, and I'm here today. I love this paragraph so much because this was me. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. I love it. I love logic. It's not by chance we were given this power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses and draw conclusions. And when I walked in the rooms, I wasn't going to be moved by emotion, by, oh, you should try it. Oh, that was never going to draw me in. I needed to have the logic. And you all showed me the logic. The people in that room that first night showed me the logic, which was their results. Their results. The way they talked about food resonated with the way I had been obsessing about food. I had never heard of OA. I had never had any idea of this thing. I didn't even hear the word abstinent until the end of the meeting. And if I'd heard it at the beginning, I don't know that I would have stayed, because to me, that was a laughable impossibility. I didn't even know people would even try for such a ridiculous thing as to stop, in my case, binging. We agnostically inclined not to feel satisfied with a proposal which did not lend itself to reasonable approaches and interpretations. That's right, that's me. If there was no reason, if there was no logic to it, I wasn't going to be interested. But there was. The logic was, you had results and I did not. You had peace. I did not. I was out of control with my emotions. I was out of control with my obsession. Obsession about food. Invite me to a wedding, I only care about the food. Invite me to a picnic, I only care about the food. So I love that this paragraph focuses on the thing that has been, I mean, really, a thing I love about myself and I love about life. Surrender is critical to my recovery too. But I love that this paragraph resonates with me and reminds me that I can live in the joy of my reason, and that that reason has gotten me to recovery as much as any other component. Thank you so much. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jeannie B. from Florida. Next up, we have Tony B., followed by Crystal R. Good morning, Tony. Where are you calling from?
Thank you, Kelly. My name's Tony B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Thank you for your service. And I don't know if I've got much to add. They've been wonderful shares. But it is logical. Look, it works. When this thing was written, more than 100 men and women had recovered. And there's the evidence. And that's what they're presenting. And look how many more now in the world, in all different fellowships. And this reasonable interpretation that we trust God, we believe in God, you know, and we believe he'll restore us to sanity. And God has restored us to sanity, doing a few simple things, working the steps through, putting our trust and reliance upon him. And how are you going to interpret that? You know, it works. Try another way without higher power and ask in C, does it work? For me, OA light didn't work. Thinking that I could just skirt around the edges didn't work. I needed to really take a position to believe God is everything, or God is nothing. And yes, I like logic as well, but it can catch me out. I can reason and believe that I'm right about things and use my reasoning in a very clever way to prove that I'm right, particularly in personal relationships, particularly with my husband. You'll get me figuring it out in my mind and proving to him that I'm right. And this evidence of my senses, you know, can go wrong. I can draw conclusions that can be quite wrong. What do I know, really? They're at pains to tell us here that faith is reasonable. It's more sane because how was my thinking doing for me? I was insane in the food. I was insane in my emotional nature. All of those bedevilments, insanity. It's more sane, this. And I need to stop not knowing, throwing up my hands and saying, I don't know, I'm not sure about this. I take a position, I come to believe, I know, I trust. Look, you know, at the evidence, it works. Thank you for letting me share our path.
Well, thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Next up, we have Crystal R., followed by Whitney C. Good morning, Crystal. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And I've been so grateful to be reading this, just this whole chapter this month. I've been just dealing with a lot of family conflict, especially this past month. And in that situation, I have this tendency to want to fix things myself. And so this chapter and this reading has really just helped me remember who is in charge and who am I coming back to and who am I relying on. Like this past weekend, we had Thanksgiving dinner with my family, and there was just so much tension and conflict at the table that was underlying. It wasn't sort of overt, it was underlying. And I could just feel myself, like, you know, constantly just kind of being extra bubbly, extra happy, like I'm trying to entertain everybody. And at multiple moments, I had to come back to God and be like, okay, let's take it down a notch. Let's, you know, I don't need to be spinning plates here to get everyone's attention to try and fix this tension that's at the table. And I had to keep going back to God, and it's a really difficult situation to be in. And today what I'm so grateful for is in the past I would use sort of my logic and reasoning to tell myself, this is why this is so unfair. This is why everybody should be doing what I think they should be doing so that I can feel better. And today I use my logic to help me understand what God's doing in my life and how there could possibly be even a plan, a purpose, and a gift from all this tension that's happening. And I remember I came back to God the next morning to kind of be like, oh my gosh, that was a tough dinner. And God had me look at, you know, I had two Thanksgiving dinners this weekend. One was with my family with all the conflict and me trying to, you know, deal with all of that. And the second was with my in-laws, which was just like wonderful and peaceful. And we just had the best time. And I realized in that whole time with my in-laws, I didn't even stop to say hi to God even once. Like I didn't actually pause to like talk to God, spend time with God, or check in with God at all during that one. But when I was with my family, it was a constant, like, God, please help me here. And it just, you know, for a moment, that logic helped me to, or at least that reasoning helped me to pause and be like, huh, maybe there's a gift in all this, in all this tension and difficulty and conflict. It's giving me a chance to grow. It's giving me a chance to stay closer to God than I would if everything was just the way I wanted it to be. And so I'm very grateful that today God kind of gives me uses my logic as a tiny window into how he sees me and how he sees my life, where he's not as concerned about my circumstances. He's more concerned with the state of my heart and the peace in my heart. And he can use any circumstance to bring that about. Thanks for letting me share, Paz.
Well, thanks for sharing, Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada. Next up, we have Whitney C., followed by Kelly H. Good morning, Whitney. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Whitney C., and I'm actually calling from Modesto, California. thank you for moderating, and thank you for having me here. I'm just so, you know, I listen to this line all the time, and I rarely let my voice be heard, but today we're traveling, and so I thought, well, I'm just going to see what God says. So I pray that anything that I share here would touch the lives of one suffering compulsive overeater, and that they would have faith, because, you know, I grew up with a faith. And circumstances took me away from that faith. And my dad was in a 12-step program, and it's like he went into recovery, and then he kind of used his faith to kind of move from the recovery 12-step program. And And so I was upset with the faith because I just didn't see what I thought was supposed to be there. But I had logic and I had reasoning and I was fully aware that I was in big trouble with this food. I had used a diet pill secretly for 14 years and I became a substance abuser because this disease had me in its grip. And I got sober from that 6 years ago, and then I got back into the food. You know, I'd given up sugar and flour and treatment, and I got back into food, and I came to the point where I had to decide. You know, I thought I had a higher power, even working the program and having neutrality with my other issue. I thought I had a higher power, but this disease bait me into a state of reasonableness. And I was logical about the fact that without some help greater than myself, that I wasn't going to survive. I had suicidal ideation in recovery with children that were 2 and 3. And then there was a before and there was an after. And my higher powers never asked me that I had to define him. I just know that I cried out and I needed hope. And I became willing to believe in that faith that God could save me because I couldn't anymore. I had publicly humiliated myself on Facebook. All the other things that used to work, they stopped working. I'm so grateful that I, like, one by one, removed everything that stood in the way from me, finally surrendering to this higher power. And I have a beautiful relationship because of the way I've heard people spoke about their relationship. They said I could too have it. And today I have a beautiful relationship with an undefined God of my understanding. And all I know that I can tell you is that there was a before, there was an asking of him, and after. And that was almost 5 years ago in April. And I don't think about compulsive overeating today. I don't think about, I mean, I've been given the gift of remembering what it was like, and all I can owe that to is that my higher power has reached into my heart and plucked me from the depths of hell. And he's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And he's given me a faith just like Crystal P spoke of. Sorry to, oh, I'm not cross-talking, but, you know, family dynamics that are challenging. I came from a dysfunctional family, and God's allowed the food to be neutral enough so that I can pave a new way and have this new faith that God can restore a relationship with my mom and I, but I will not continue the one that we have today. And I'm able to do that because I have a faith. I have a childhood faith.
That's time, Whitney.
Thank you. That's all I'll share. Thank you for allowing me. Have a good day.
Good to hear you, Whitney C. from California. Next up is Kelly H., and we'll have time for another share, so think about it, guys. Good morning, Kelly. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. I'm calling. This is Kelly, compulsive overeater, calling from Western North Carolina. And I'm glad I'm here. I've been in program since 2021, December, and had recovery for the first 14 months, and then I've wobbled ever since. So I'm in program, but I am not recovered. But one of the things that I'm just coming back to meetings. So day 3 of 3 meetings, kind of like, what's the problem? For me, basically I wrote that my eating problem is my life problem. It's not the food, it's the way I'm living my life. And my experience suggests that when fear is high, anything will be invoked to be blocked from God, including my logic. For me, agnosticism appears to be a safe harbor. Agnosticism is not a safe harbor, allowing me to have a sort of faith with the appearance of humility and benevolence towards others who have other views. Agnosticism for me is not a safe place. It's actually kind of, it cloaks fear. And part of coming back into meetings is that I've really got to face the fact that I've allowed fear to trick me, or, you know, I'm going to take responsibility. It didn't trick me. I willingly went along with it. I stopped giving over my fear. Fears for a million different little things. I allowed fear to distance me from God and from others. I struggle trusting God with my food plan, and because I think it's up to me to resolve conflicts around food, like being out on errands and having a loved one suggest, oh, let's go grab a thing, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and
I didn't show up prepared for a spontaneous moment when other people might be hungry and therefore attempting to go to grab something to eat. You know, I stopped doing that because it was too difficult. I didn't go grocery shopping in a timely manner. I wasn't prepared. And so I dropped my program for things like that. And, you know, as a parent, that kind of excuse making wouldn't fly. If a child says, well, I'm getting bad grades because I just can't get up on time to go to school, or I didn't think 2 weeks ahead of time when I needed to start the research for this. And yet in my own recovery, where my life depends on it, I wasn't showing up prepared. And it's because I'm kind of, well, I don't know, I'm figuring out why all those fears are there. But I'm using
that's
the term
time, Kelly.
Narcissism. Thank you. With that, I'll pass. Amen. That I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. from North Carolina. All right, guys.
Hi,
I have
good morning.
I have time for a couple more shares. Who would like to share?
Hi, excuse me. I have a question, please. I came in a little late in the meeting. Can you tell me what page it was? What was the name of
the
reading?
We're on page 53, first paragraph, We Agnostic. Logic is great stuff. So who would like to share on the paragraph we just read?
This is Sherry P. from Washington.
This is Larry.
All right. Sherry P., you can go up and we'll see how much time we have left for Larry. Go, Sherry.
Okay. I've hardly ever shared on this line before, but I've been on the line for many years. But anyway, I'm a little nervous, and I have had a series of spiritual experiences that I haven't relayed to anybody because I believe that they'll think I'm crazy, but I just such dark, stark, and directed. I know by my higher power, anyway, I don't know whether to share this or if it's so private that. I want to keep it between myself and my God. But anyway, I have suffered from depression practically all my life. And I've been a psychiatric patient for about that long too. And this thing that's happened to me over the past few weeks, even though I've had spiritual experiences before that are quite memorable, it's so easy to forget. But anyway, it helps me choose in the morning here for me to know, not just to believe, but to know that I'm in the presence and it's such a turnaround from all my doubt, and I am just so grateful. I'm grateful to you guys, and it was something that I heard the other day from someone who shared on this line, and I just had to pick up my pen and write about it. And while I was doing that, I just felt this writing come. Not for me, but it fell up, falling right out of my pen, and it was such a blessed thing. Anyway, I feel healthier because of it, and I'm not going to worry about it. But if I share this with my sponsor, one of you, it's hard for me to pick up the phone, but hopefully I'll be calling and making some cold calls to people I don't know. And with that, I'll close. Thank you all very much.
Sherry, where are you calling from? Sherry? Oh, well. Larry, we only have 1 minute. Do you want it?
Nah, let's wrap this thing, Kelly. Let's wrap it up.
All righty. We'll wrap it up. Thanks, Larry. Okay, let's see. Where are we? Thank you to everybody who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing.
So our share ID for today, October 15, 2024, 21829. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Craig asks, will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Be glad to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.